Perfect. Well, to kind of start out with Glenn, ever since your documentary OC-887, you basically have had a documentary of some sort come out almost every year. I'd love to know how much time you have in prep work going into a subject matter, and how quick turnaround is it for you when you're working on obviously many different works, and especially when you do a maybe more scientific or a documentary that deals with mental health. You've written a lot of those, so I'm curious how much time and effort has to go into each documentary that you tackle.
That's a great question. You know, my brain is like a four burner stove top. I think I usually have about four projects going simultaneously, two on the front burner, two on the back burner. they sort of like become sort of things that the water trickles and then it becomes a full stream, depending on when deadlines and things happen. But a film like the Wyeth film, I had known about Wyeth, and I'd worked on the Wyeth film, an early Wyeth film in my 20s, so I had sort of a foundational knowledge of Andrew Wyeth and his work. I think this film took 3 years to make, and I would say it's about a year of fundraising and story development, and then it's almost a year of full-time production and post-production and then sharing it. It's hard to estimate some of the films that are client-based, like the Chemical Heritage Foundation. They have hard deadlines, and some of the films are done after I finish raising the money, which takes, that's an incalculable thing sometimes. So really hard to answer your question, but I usually have about four projects going all at once, and that's for survival as a filmmaker, economic survival, and also I find that having the different projects going simultaneously is a very exciting way to be in the world, and my brain is being fired in all directions at all times. So I hope that answers your question.
No, it definitely does. I mean, you're so prolific with everything. I'm curious, with something like Wyeth, which you had information on beforehand, how much does PBS get involved in the research part, or do they just kind of leave you to yourself? I mean, how much involvement do you have from outside entities when you do your documentaries?
They were really interested in our thesis about the film, and I think they liked the thesis of the film, which is basically that Andrew Wyeth, despite whatever slings and arrows that the art world handed him, stayed very true to his original vision of himself as an artist and what he wanted to paint and how he wanted to paint. So as long as we stayed true to that sort of thesis, they were really happy with it. And so there wasn't a heavy touch at all. They did keep in touch with us throughout the process and offered some very strong and I think strategic good advice on a rough cut that helped us out. So I think they were quite, it was a light touch, but it was, we were thrilled to be part of the series. So of course we wanted to make it something that they were thrilled with as well.
I'm curious, how much fun is it to work on a subject matter that at least geography-wise, has a connection to your history in Pennsylvania. Maybe not necessarily Chad's Ford, but, at least someone that has a connection to that state. Is that exciting to do something where it's, almost a fellow statesman to some extent?
Well, what's really interesting is that he has, in Chad's Ford, which, I'm in Philadelphia, so it's about an hour away, but in Chad's Ford, Andrew Wyeth is like the mailman or someone at the diner. I mean, he's just he was when he was living. I mean, he was a fixture, and people loved that he was part of their community. I actually felt like an outsider, even though I was an hour away coming into Chatsport to try to sort of explore that. But what I found quickly is that, number one, the physical locations that meant something to him in his paintings are beautifully maintained, and so that, as a filmmaker, was a huge gift to be able to go into his studio, and it looks like he just walked out to buy eggs, or to go into the Kerner farm that's been maintained. And the same thing is true in Maine, to go to the Olsen House and have it be so beautifully maintained by the museum, the Farnsworth Museum there. And that was a gift that I didn't even think about until I was in the middle of filming, and I was thinking, my God, these spaces are so rich with the ghosts of Mr. Wyeth and the people that he painted there. So that was a big treat. There is definitely a source of pride in Andrew Wyeth coming from this neighborhood, and when I'm talking to the local public television station, they consider him their own, and people in Wilmington, Delaware consider him their own. So everyone wants a little corner of the Wyeth story, but I think that's only a terrific part of it. You know? But I really didn't feel like a Wyeth insider until finishing the movie.
Which interview was the toughest to get a hold of, or was there an interview that you weren't able to get hold of? Because it looks like from what I got to see, you touched upon all the subjects that are involved in, you know, the Andrew story that are currently still alive.
Yeah, I mean, how lucky am I that no one's made this movie yet? I couldn't believe it when I saw it talking to everybody, and it felt like people were at a really interesting place where they wanted to chat. And the toughest one to not yet, but sort of navigate was Helga Testorff, his muse and model, because she is an artist herself. She's a painter, and just sort of to get her to focus on the experiences of Andrew was just a bit of a dance, and I think she was playful about it. She had some things that she wanted to say, and I had some things that I wanted to learn from her. So it required a lot of patience, but I think meeting her and interviewing her was one of the most interesting interviews I've ever had in my career. So I'm grateful for it. It was just, you know, each time we sat down, it was about a 3-hour adventure because there was a lot that she wanted to share. The sons are Jamie and Nikki were terrifically willing to chat about the father and the relationships that their mother had with Andrew Wyeth's father, their grandfather, which was, you know, sometimes can be challenging. It was just a very open atmosphere. I didn't feel like I had to chase down any secrets, you know what I mean? It was all sort of there.
How do you approach your interviews? I mean, does each one have its own unique nature to it, or do you specifically go in with the same style, or at least the same setup? I mean, do you trick it up differently for, let's say, like a film like The Barefoot Artist, where you're kind of entrenched into Lily's world, or are all of them pretty similar for you?
No, I would say each one is unique. You do a bit of, when possible, I'd love to meet in person with somebody beforehand. If that's not possible, I like to have a conversation beforehand, just to sort of get an energy judge, you know, to see if it's going to be something that's going to work, just how it's going to go. But then once I'm in the field with the interviewee, my main job is to sort of keep things really calm, because it can get a little zoomy with cameras and lights and microphones and people. You know, the first thing you have to do is put a wireless microphone on a human being, and that touches them physically. And that's, you know, so, and a lot of people, like Jamie Wyeth, is used to that. He's done a lot of that. But some other people aren't, so you just sort of have to make sure that people are as comfortable as possible and know the scope of what I'm after, know a little information beforehand of what my goals, what I'm trying to get out of the adventure, and then be really open to a lot of surprises. You know, people feel comfortable enough, they start going off on tangents, and often that can lead to very interesting discussions. So I would say each interview is its own sort of thing that I sort of approach with my antenna up and trying to assess, and my goal is to make people as comfortable as possible so they feel comfortable sharing.
Since you talked about earlier that you've usually got like 4 projects all at once going on, do you mind if I ask what projects intertwined with this? Just curious to know what kind of was on your mind while this was going on.
Well, we were finishing up a film about a chemist named Arnold Beckman, so that was a very different kind of project, and a man who's made a lot of contributions to our world technologically. What else was going on at the same time? I think we'd finished something for Longwood Gardens. That was more of a film about landscape and architecture. I went school, I went to the College of Arts and Sciences, and I always laugh because my parents would be so proud. I use every bit of it of my education, because I do bounce back and forth between the world of science, mental health, and art, and I love them all. So that's kind of where my brain is at. And plus, you know, to pay the rent, I do a lot of corporate gigs too, so that keeps me on my toes, and it keeps me working with different people and playing with different kinds of technologies as well. This film, the Wyatt film, benefited greatly from drone technology, and I had befriended a fantastic drone operator on another gig that we had done. That was more of a corporate project. So these projects all sort of feed into each other in interesting ways.
Wow, interesting. So when you're shooting the landscapes that we see in the film, I mean, that's drone shot? Not crane?
Yeah, so we have cranes inside in the interior, but most of the aerials are drones. And there's a gentleman named Max Tubman who's just such a gifted pilot, and he taught me so much about how, you know, I used to think a drone went up straight up in the air and took a wide shot, and he runs up the hill with the drone and things like that. So he gave a tremendous gift to the film. And I met him on another project where we started the relationship. So, and I think if you talk to any filmmaker, you'll see that they assemble teams of people based on this strength that you have experienced in other projects.
As far as your team, how many members, though, have stuck with all the different types? Do you have people that have been with it, you know, through all the different types of documentaries you've covered?
I have a core group of people that I love to work with, and we sort of complement that with other specialists as we go. And I am still learning. You know, I'm 55 years old, and it just makes me laugh that I'm using new technologies out in the field, and I'm working with people who are introducing new ideas. And each film allows me to sort of stretch in a way that I never thought I would be continuing to be doing. And each film feels a little bit new, and we all get excited about, you know, how we can push what we did a little further from the last adventure.
With a project like this, do you watch it on TV when it comes out, or do you kind of separate from that?
I used to work, for years, I started off in public television. About 15 years ago, I worked for the PBS station in Philly, and I used to host parties when we'd have a broadcast, and I got really annoyed because no one would pay attention to the broadcast the party. So I kind of like to have a solitary experience with it. With this film, we've made a theatrical version, so we're screening it at a couple theaters locally, and that's a thrill to see all this gorgeous cinematography on a big screen. But it also works really well. You know, I also watch on my laptop. So I don't know. I think they're going to ask me to tweet during this particular broadcast, which I've never done before. So again, I'm being dragged into a technology world that I'm not done, but I'm not. I consider, you know, part of the fun of trying something new.
Was there any bit of information that you learned about Andrew that just has stuck with you personally? That just kind of touched you on a different level, maybe?
Well, he's such a beautiful speaker, and we were so lucky to get that archival interviews with him. It's mostly his words about his ethics and work habits that stick with me. Like, you know, that simple is really, really difficult. That is a concept that touches me personally. There's a sense at the end of the film where he said, like, if you love something and have a feel for it, and life gives you the opportunity, my God, do it. Don't let it pass you by. So it's that kind of carpe diem, you know, attitude that, you know, we all need reminders of. And so he said it so beautifully. I was also quite moved just by his sensitivity to people who had less than he did, and the way that he would show them, the Olsons and the Kerners and the African-American community and Chad Sport. There's a wonderful unspoken sensitivity to people's journeys and struggles. And that, as a documentary filmmaker, is something that I would hope to aspire to.
Mm.
And then finally, as a filmmaker talking, you know, he wanted to just be invisible. He always said, if I could just be a pair of eyes and not be there at all to paint and not be in the way. And, you know, as a verite filmmaker, that's what you hope for, is that people somehow forget that there's a camera and it's a light and a microphone. So that I spoke to me as a filmmaker, those kinds of thoughts about trying to be and document a place but not be in the way and change the place because of you being there. You know, he embedded himself in these two places, the Kerner Farm and the Olsen House, very much like, you know, Frederick Wiseman might for a film, you know, just there every day, recording a different corner of the story. So that part spoke to me and revealed itself as I made the film, because I didn't realize the extent of his sort of dedication to those locations and the people in them.
Very cool. Well, kind of last question, Glenn. I would love to know, if you can, I know with obligations to certain entities that you may not be able to reveal what you're working on, but do you mind if I ask what four different ideas you've got in your head right now?
Yeah. We actually have proposals out now. There's a film about lessons that we've learned from the past about successes in battling climate change. History has a lot of lessons to teach us on how we can sort of face the future of climate change. So, for example, did you know that our ozone hole is almost filled?
No. Wow.
It is. Yeah. Science and smart and politics and change of behavior, consumer behavior, made that possible. We figured out where acid rain comes from. We know how to tackle that. So there's a lesson. There's a lot of lessons that I feel like we can learn from things that smart people have done in the past as we face these climate changes. So hopefully it's not all that hopeless. Another film that's very, very early on is something about, there's a great organization in Philadelphia called Project Home and the successes that they have of getting people off the street and into homes and into productive lives. And so that's early on. And I've done some work in the LGBTQ community, and so I hope that I can touch on the plights of folks who have that intersection of homelessness and caused by perhaps homelessness as a youth who's not been accepted and welcomed in their homes because of who they are. And then there's something I want to do on American school lunches and how they stink in the school system and make them better for our communities. So there's a bunch of things going on. And there's an artist named Marisol, who's one of the pop artists, a woman who was really fantastic during the pop art era. And I saw a couple of her works, and I was very moved by them. I did a film about women pop artists, and her story was a chapter in the film, and I feel like I could make a full-length film about her. So
very nice.
It's all the same kind of stuff, isn't it? But it's a different... it's like, you know, different vessels, but same kinds of stories.
Well, Glenn, I love the Andrew Wyeth documentary, and was have been a fan of yours for a while. So thank you so much for the time, and can't wait to see what's coming up. And have a great day. And Emma, thanks again for the interview.
Have a good one. Please send a link for the post.
Definitely will. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.